I want you to listen, children of God. I'm going to try to read some scripture on it, cover a few things here if I can. I want you to turn with me first, before we read Matthew's, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 13 and 4. Let's turn over there to 13 and 4 first, and let's see what the Lord says about marriage here. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. All right, now you can take it from there. You can say, well, I think this and I think that, and I feel like I'll be all right or they'll be all right, but I told you what he said. That's the way it'll be at the judgment. All right, now listen. Remember the word whoremongers and keep in mind the word harlot. All right, now, I'll show you why in a little bit. 1 Peter 3 and 1, let's just turn over there just for a few minutes. 1 Peter 3 and 1. Now, this is to the wife. Now, when I read it, you can do anything you want to with it, but this is going to stand in the judgment. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in a subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, so as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. All right, now, I read that because one of the things that caused the problem of today is the way that women dress. That's one of the great problems. All right, now, just for a moment now, Jesus said a sinful and adulterous generation. Just give the more earnest heed and listen this morning, if you will. The first thing that I'm going to read, after I get a few scriptures here to substantiate what I'm going to say, I know that that we're going to have a little controversy over it. I know that. But if you'll listen, you'll have to admit that what I told you is God's word. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. Somebody was asking Paul about these things. There was a lot of problem about it in that time. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. A lot of you pouty women are bad about not rendering due benevolence to your husband, and a lot of you pouty men are the same way, but God will get you in the day of judgment for it. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt ye not for your incontinency. All right, now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians here, in the 25th verse, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Are thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashions of this world pass away. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Listen close now. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let him marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. That means if you're a child of God, you've got to marry a Christian. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And if you don't think the preacher has any right to tell folks anything, you see Paul here using his own judgment on this thing, in harmony with what the Lord said, and God made it the Word of God by putting it here in the Bible. All right, now, it said if the virgin passed the flower of her age, the word flower comes from flow. Flow, like Florida, flow. Or like flower, it means the liquids that flow through the vine coming out into the petal, which is the life. So then you understand the custom of women when the woman used the terminology back there in the days of Jacob, said that the custom of women was upon her. If then she has passed the age of the custom of women, she is free to marry. It's called the flower of her age. All right, now, I want you to listen as I try to tell you the truth in all sincerity, with all righteousness, with all decency. All right, listen now. In Mark 10, now, this is going to go against the grain a little bit, but this is the way the Bible gives it. Mark 10, the 11th verse. And he saith unto them, whosoever, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, is he talking to Christians or sinners or what? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. He's saying, whosoever, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. Whosoever shall put away his wife. Now notice, I want you to especially notice one thing here. It says his wife. Remember that. His wife. And marrieth another, committeth adultery against her. All right, now this is going to go against the grain a little bit, because I know that Brother Branham Followers teaches that the wife cannot put away the husband. But listen to this now. Go by God's word. And if a woman shall put away her husband. How many of you heard that? And be married to another, she committeth adultery. You follow me? All right, now, I want you to see that the terms put away is used. All right, now, in Matthew's, the 5th chapter, the 27th verse. I want you to listen now. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And Jesus is talking about putting away the members of the body of the church, that the whole body of the church don't perish. Get rid of the corrupt arm, the corrupt leg, the corrupt eye. But he is also pointing out in putting away the wife, if she is not your wife, if she's turned to a harlot, the Bible says that you're joined to your harlot. But listen now. He is telling you that it is better to enter into this life right here. This life having one leg. This life having one eye. Go through this life being halt, maimed, lame, or blind. By taking your finger and plucking your literal eye out. Jesus said that's a hard thing to pluck your eye out. But it would be easier for you to do that than to go to hell. You'd be better off to do that. That's how bad hell is. Now, he said to enter into this life rather than having all your members and sin through your life and then die and go to hell. All right, listen to this, folks. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife. I want you to notice this. Jesus used the terms here, it hath been said. He's not using the terms that God said. Now, Moses said, and all of the others said, but Jesus said, this has been said. By who? Moses and the others. He said, but I'm telling you because I'm the Word made manifest. All right, listen to what he said. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. All right, now who said that? Moses. It hath been said. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now, I want some of you to see that. A lot of people think, well, if I got a divorce, that takes care of it. I don't care if you've got a divorce by the courts of this land, that don't mean a thing. Unless God has broke the ties, you're still married. Every court in the land can give you a divorce. But Jesus said, if you marry a woman, I don't care if she is divorced, she's bound to her husband so long as he liveth. All right, now, there's no way to get around it. I don't care who gives you a divorce. That man that give you a divorce, if he doesn't know any better, God will have mercy on him. But if he knows better and he grants you a divorce, God will burn him in hell for doing that. All right, now, let me look just one more minute here at Mark, and then we'll get into our thought here. I want to make a comparison here if I can. Look at Mark 10 now. Listen to that real close. The second verse. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him. Now, there was the Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection. There was the Pharisees that did believe in the resurrection. Today, it is typified by the Democrat and the Republican. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Now, they did this tempting him, the Bible said, tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? Even back there, they didn't understand it. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement. Now see, I just read to you over here, it has been said, give her a divorce, as in Matthew's. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement. That's just exactly right, suffered. And to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. And that ought to get a hold to some of you men out there that won't get out from away from the mother or family, whatever, to your wife. And that also applies to the wife. It won't leave like Rebecca did her family to go with Isaac, that Her mother and daddy's got to run her business. It's a shame for her to even be married. She ain't got no business being married. She ought to be back home like a schoolgirl. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That means the judges and the courts and everything. And in the house, his disciples ask him again of the same matter. See, they still wasn't clear on it. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now, I believe the reason that Jesus didn't really clarify the thing here was for the simple reason that he intended for there to be a sinful and an adulterous generation. I believe that's why he did it. I believe he left it like that because he knew that the episode from the garden experience would result in a bunch of bastard children throughout the world, a bunch of religious bastard children that would refuse the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that the whore is a great ditch. That's why it compares Rome with the whore, because all of your natural whoredom is a type of the spiritual things that God had to encounter. He said the whore is a deep ditch. Now, if you have played the whore on your husband, or if you have done wrong, lost your virginity, then this is what God thinks about you. Now, it doesn't matter what somebody tells you God thinks about you. This is what God thinks about you. The Bible said that the whore is a deep ditch. That's what he called her, a deep ditch. Now, if you're upset at me, then you're upset at God. Your fight is against God. I didn't make whores and I didn't make God. God made me and God suffered the whores to be here. A whore is a deep ditch. And the Bible said they that are abhorred of the Lord, them that God detests, them that he don't like, them that's lifted up, them that are unrighteous. The whore is a deep ditch, and they that are abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. A lot of people, when something goes wrong, they'll take the individual and they'll beat them to death about it. But the man that committed the act, they'll let them go free. But God said the man that fell into that trap was abhorred of God to begin with. That's why God let him fall in it. Because he was unclean and dirty to start with. Or he never fell in it to start with. Now that's the way the Bible gives it. Covering up the sins. All right, now, the Lord hates both of them. The Bible said the whoremonger. I read it to you over here, children of God, a few minutes ago. That the whoremonger God shall judge. There is a whore that's a woman, and there is a whoremonger that is a man. And God said he would judge the whoremonger. And then when he spoke of the coming of New Jerusalem, he said the whoremonger and the whore and all of those that make and love a lie shall be cut outside of the gates and shall not enter into the city, but shall be considered dogs in the sight of God. Now, I want you to see this morning what the Lord is trying to say. Paul said the great mystery concerning the church is the same with the woman and with the man. That the mystery is that the church belongs to Christ and that it does not have a controlling power of its own. It is not a headship. It is the female part of God. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I brought out a message not too long ago. I wish we could just go back and bring that whole message in here, but you know what I'm talking about. I brought it out about Adam and Eve. The Bible said in the beginning it was not so. Why? Because Eve belonged to Adam. It wasn't Adam's choice. It wasn't Eve's choice. But Eve was a part of Adam. Eve wasn't something that Adam married. A lot of people say, well, didn't Adam and Eve get married? You don't find any place in the Bible where Adam and Eve ever got married. Just like people get off on a tangent and they say, well, adultery is after you marry. That couldn't be true. A lot of people say, well, that's what it means, Brother Pike. After you marry, that's adultery. Yes, you do wrong. All right, if that is scriptural and that is the biblical teachings, one thing that I'd like to ask, how does a man look on a woman and commit adultery with her before they're ever married? Look on her and lust after her in his heart, you've committed adultery. Many people have committed adultery, never committed the act as far as human relation. Now, the marriage is undefiled and all. Now, I want you to look at this a minute. Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve, there's no place where they ever got married. There is no record where God ever married them. He only took what was already Adam's, already part of Adam. He didn't have to give it to Adam. It belonged to Adam to start with. All this message and this thing they got going around about the rib message. Now, I don't know what the rib message is. Maybe they've got something good, and I hope they have got something good. But this mess that I've heard will send them and the rib message and all to hell. This God took Eve, and Eve already belonged to Adam. Eve was already part of Adam's body. You understand? Listen, folks, why did Paul use the term having the revelation, the understanding of God? Why did he use the term that every sin, it don't matter what sin it is, every sin is without the body. But the man that commits fornication, the Bible said, sinneth against his own body. Why did he say that? Because there is but one flesh, and that flesh was the flesh of Adam in the garden. And every person that's a human being came from that flesh. And we're all one flesh. And Eve, the woman, was one flesh with Adam. And when you commit fornication, that's a sin against your own body. That's contrary to what God set up in the beginning. Because you're going with your own flesh. Now, the low-down evil. I don't even like to get into this subject because my mind thinks about the things and brothers laying with sisters and sisters laying with brothers and a lot of this filth that we see from time to time that springs up. That thing was already back there with brother and sister long before it ever happened. Low-down evil, sloppy mess. Daddy taking up time with daughters. Daughters taking up time with daddies. Mothers taking up time with their sons. Sons taking up time with the mothers. You say, that ain't so, but it is so. Been all the way down through the Bible. Reuben was cursed back there because of it. And so it was back there in the days when the Tower of Babel was built. Over at Nimrod's own mother married her own son. Always been a mess. Why? Because beasts have no morals. It doesn't matter, cattle, dogs, whatever it is, they have no guideline of life. They have no intuition that tells them anything. They're just beasts. Any old way will do. Like a bunch of these preachers that's got it going. I made the statement years ago. I said, watch and see if it happens. I said, the preachers will start going to concubines. I said, just watch and see. I said, after a while, they'll begin to try to justify it. You just watch and see. And already they're doing it. They're doing it. Now, the common law wife, they have them in Mexico. That was the way it was in the days of Abraham. But listen, folks. Every great man of God that God ever used, Adam had one wife. Noah, the only record I've ever found, he had one companion. Abraham had one wife. Somebody said, well, what about the other? He listened at Sarah and got into that mess. That's what he did. And then God took her away from him. God suffered it. Isaac, the same way. Jacob, when Jacob got his wife, he only went for one wife because he was a godly man. But they tricked him and he wound up with two. Is that right? A lot of times the handmaids that went with these women, the Bible said in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon my handmaids. Handmaids, and they shall prophesy. Now, what is the handmaid? The handmaid was just like the ones that went with Rachel and with Leah. These that went along with them, because they didn't have any doctors in that day, and thank God for a decent day, because the doctors had brought in what they call the medical profession, or the most rotten, low-down thing on the face of the earth, that has turned our women into a bunch of prostitutes, stripped them down, and the men have allowed them to do it because they had some college degree. And some of the doctors have literally run off with the women. Low down, filthy, and ungodly. There's three things that is filthy and ungodly in the world that has corrupted the nation. The educational system, it goes back to the beast. The medical profession, it goes back to the beast. The United States Army and the corruption and rottenness of it, that goes back to the beast. Because our warfare is not carnal to begin with. Now, that has corrupted the entire world. As it was in the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. Looking at Adam and Eve, I want you to see this. They were one flesh. The mystery of God is that a man that is joined to a woman is one flesh. Now, I can't go into it and bring it out, but I made the statement before concerning these things. I told you about the blood genetics and how that the blood got into the body and how the change come about. It's on tape. And how that it actually made them one flesh. They actually become one flesh through the change. And so you do the same thing through Christ. I brought it out. Blood of his blood, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. Your blood makes your flesh and bones. When you get his blood, you got his flesh and bones. It changes you from glory to glory into his flesh and bones. That's what the redemption of the body is. That's the great mystery of godliness. We can't go into all that if we stay on the principal parts of the subject here. But it's on tape where we brought this out that ties in with the message. Adam and Eve in the garden. When Adam and Eve in the garden was made male and female, it represented the church and it represented God. And the church is the feminine part of God. She is the weaker vessel. And God shows mercy. She must be obedient to Christ, her head, in all things. She can't use her own reasoning. She can't dress like she wants to. She can't walk like she wants to. She can't talk like she wants to. She is a living sacrifice unto her husband. And if a woman is not a living sacrifice to her husband, she is in a backslidden condition and will die and go to hell. Now you say, I don't believe it. All right, you just take it ever how you want to. I'm telling you what the Bible says about it. Now listen, children of God. The woman was not made for God. God did not make the woman for himself. God made man for himself. God is a spirit, and God dwells in a man because a man has got the stronger body, the stronger mind, the stronger willpower, and he rules the world through man. He made man like that. And yet man to God is very weak, that God might have control of him, that God and the man may come together as bone of bone and flesh of flesh, that it might be God in man ruling the world. One body with one head, though we have many members. The woman was made for the man. I want you to hear me now. The woman was made for the man. She was made to love the man, serve the man, obey the man, and do whatever the man asks her to do in all things. That's absolutely God's word. She was made for that purpose. She is supposed to love him, conform to him. Somebody say, well, my husband so-and-so, that ain't got nothing to do with it. My wife so-and-so, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody say, well, I don't love him like I ought to. I don't love her like I ought to. That ain't got nothing to do with it. When God binds you together if she looks like some swiveled up pumpkin, if you want to put it like that. Or you'll look like one. She is bound to you until you die. And it's your job to live with them, take care of them, Mr. Man, look after them, whether you want to or whether you don't want to. And the little sideline preachers and different ones that puts things into your ears and say, well, brother, we believe so and so, they're going to die and go to hell with you. They're bidding at Godspeed, which is not of God. They reason in their mind and try to justify your evil. Lady, when you leave your husband, I don't care how cross you are, you jump up, slam doors, turn flips, jump in the car, run it off in the ditch, speed up town, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to run it off in the river, I'm going to do this. That's just a lot of junk, that's all it is. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You need a good old-fashioned paddling. That's what you need. You just ain't outgrowed your childhood. My son's a nervous eye. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Not one thing has it got to do with it. Somebody said, but I just couldn't help it. I went all to pieces. You are a liar. You could have helped every bit of it. You didn't have to do none of it. Not one bit. The Bible said that God is faithful who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but with every temptation, make a way of escape. He made it, you just didn't take it. Because you couldn't take his way of escape, which was his word, in obedience to his word, and still pitch your fit and accuse your husband. The devil wanted to accuse, and so he did. Now, you didn't have to do it. But it's a little gimmick among the ladies all through the world that if we want to pitch a fit, well, everybody understands that ladies pitch his fits. I mean, that's understood, that the ladies have a right to go nervous, you know, and pitch a fit. No, you don't, lady. I tell you, in the love of God, you don't have no right to do it. I don't read where Mary ever pitched a fit. I don't read where Elizabeth ever pitched a fit. I don't read where Abraham's wife ever pitched a fit. And this modern day fit pitching is no good. God isn't going to accept it. Now, I love you, and I want to help you. You have no right to lose your temper and get all upset. You men that cuddle yourselves with the idea that all you got to do is you get nervous. She makes me nervous. I can't stay at home. I got to do this. That's a lie. You know what makes you nervous is you're in a half backslidden condition. You're supposed to be the head and you let the devil come in on your wife because you don't live right. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't seek God. And you keep devils in the house all the time. It's a wonder she don't go crazy. Being the weaker vessel. How about you nervous, you this and you that. God loves the church. You don't find God getting upset, saying, I'm nervous, I'm going to slap you down, I can't stay here, I'm going to do it. God don't do that. God don't do that. Neither should a man do that. That man knows exactly what he's doing. I've been under pressure and God bear me record, it's true. I've been under pressure till my mental faculties was collapsing. I wasn't at myself. I was burning, dying on the inside, my strength being drained from my arms and my legs. Like I had the mad itch. Nerves so bad that sores was coming in my head from the nerves. The tongue swelled up so it looked like you took an impression for teeth. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God, with many other things. Having the problems of the church and the finance and evangelism and helping people with problems, and I don't know how many multiplied things outside the parasites. But not one time in all of that have I ever been to the place to where I couldn't contain myself, I couldn't handle myself. And when the woman jumps up and pitches the fit, the man can sit right there and take care of the children and watch after it. And I'm going to tell you something, if you got any good common reason, you better do it. Because she's subject to do anything and go anywhere. And she'll tell you that she loves them young'uns better than anything in the world. And you just give her a few minutes to stay with them. And when she pitches her fit, she don't care if the baby is sitting out in the middle of the river. She's going to pitch her fit. Now, if he don't get drowned before she gets back, she'll look at him. You can't tell me. I've done seen them leave them sitting there a little bit. The baby's hollering, screaming, saying, don't do it, Mama, don't do it. Mama like this, and it's going like that, and it's, off, slammed my doors and gone. And if daddy ain't got some forbearance to stay there with it, then you're in trouble. You know, in this world, people strain at a gnat and swallow a camel anyway, don't they? You know, like a lot of, I just thought I'd drop this in, like a lot of men, they're so tidy, so this and so that, they can't eat this and they can't eat that, you know. Grumbling and mumbling and finding fault and wrestlers and everywhere they go, and I know some of them's filthy. But now to show you that they strain at an ant and swallow a camel, there ain't nothing no nastier than a woman. That's why the church has to be cleaned up by God. I'm telling you, she'll be cooking your eggs on the stove in here. In her spare time, she'll be washing out the commode. And while she ain't doing that, she's washing baby diapers over here. I'm telling you. Not only that, but maybe in that period of time, the custom of women might be upon her. And she is the messiest mess you ever seen in your life. And you just sit down and glove it in. And then you go off somewhere and talk about how tidy you are. Now, I didn't say that to discourage you. I'm just saying that we need to think sometimes. We need to do a little bit of thinking, folks. All right, now, you see that Eve was part of Adam. Is that right? Eve was part of Adam. She was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God said, Adam, this is your flesh. Now listen, folks. The Bible tells us to nourish the wife. I'm talking to the men. To nourish the wife. Love the wife. Be kind to the wife. Understand the wife. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, why don't you do it? I do try to. I try to love mine and be kind to her. Sometimes I have to tell her what she ought to do and ought not do because it's my job to tell her. I know some of you ladies, you get pouty because it strikes you wrong and you go off on your tangent. But if you're down there, you're going to hear me tell my wife what she's supposed to do and what she ain't supposed to do, and you're going to hear me tell my youngins. You can pitch a fit and go back and start a gossip if you want to, but you're going to hear it because that's my house. Like Brother Branham said one time, he said, I'm the king of this castle. God put him over it. All right, now, Adam and Eve was bone of bone and flesh of flesh. If the man is to love the woman, rule over, he must do it with love. He must do it with wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. I'd sure hate to have some of you men ruling over me. The little bit of wisdom that you use when you're trying to help me around here and the things I try to get you to do, I'd hate to be your wife. I'll tell you the truth. I really would. Because some of the women have got more reason than some of you men got. Now, but that still don't give them a right to do nothing but obey you. If they got more wisdom than you have, then let them show it to you out of meekness of spirit through obedience. That's Bible. Even if you're a sinner, it don't give you no right, lady, to detour. The Bible said he'd be won over by your conversation as he beholds the fear of the Lord upon you. All right, now, the man should love the body, cherish the body. The Bible said nowhere do you ever find where a man ever abused his own body. But he always loved his body. He cherished his body. The Bible said he looks after his body. So then if he does that and you're his body, you're his flesh, then he is foolish not to do that. You understand what I'm saying? If I run off and leave her, if she goes and messes up her life or does wrong, in the day of the judgment, I will go to hell for it. Come on, you can say amen or oh me. I know you brethren don't like that. Some of you sure don't like that. I said if God has bound you to a woman and you go off and leave her when you're her head and she's depending on you for guidance, God will send you to hell for what she done. Somebody will say, Brother Pike, that ain't Bible. It's absolutely God's word. The Bible said if he put away that woman, he causeth her to commit adultery. It didn't say she was the cause of it. It said he's the cause of her adultery. You think God's going to let him get by with it when he calls her to do it? Like some of you young fellas, God have mercy on your wretched soul. You take these little girls, you tell them everything, and you lead them on, and you get them to commit the act of fornication with you. Leading them out there. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to do this. Till you get them out there in a sloppy mess and then you run off and leave them. God will burn you in hell for that. You didn't have no business putting your hands on her to start with. Not any business at all did you have. Not any. That kind of makes some of you flinch because some of you is fixing to get married right now. You've already laid with each other. You think it's hid. That's why you come in here with such a condemnation in your heart. Now, God's going to make you pay for it. Someday you're going to reap it. You watch and see. Somebody said, well, if we're going to get married, we can do so and so and so and so. Said the Bible said, let a man do what he will toward his virgin if he behaveth himself unseemingly. The Bible said, let them marry. That's what the Bible said. If he doesn't do right toward her, the Bible said, let him marry. Daddy, you stop your foolishness. Quit holding back that girl if she's past the flower of age. Let him get married. Have some reasoning about who she marries because you're going to be responsible. But let the girl get married. If you don't, she'll be a sore thumb in your sight. And the same way with that boy. If he's old enough to make a living, if he got any reasoning, any common sense, then if he wants to marry, let him marry. God made folks to marry, not to be young'uns. He didn't make people to be young'uns. He made them to be man and wife, to multiply and replenish the earth. Somebody said, my little daughter, mom-in-law, you caused more trouble in the family because of your little daughter, and usually your little daughter is a whore or a harlot, and she's causing a lot of trouble, and your little daughter, and you sticking your nose into it, has caused that husband enough trouble that God will put you and your little daughter in hell as sure as you live. You watch what I'm telling you. Mother-in-law that's so worried about her little son. Her little son. Somebody's going to hurt her little son. Somebody's going to abuse her little son. That old woman ain't doing her little son right. Mother, if you don't keep your nose out of that man and woman's business, God is going to get you. Daddy, God's going to get you. You can't go around shifting your shoulders and lord over that young fella because he ain't big enough to give you a whipping because God's big enough to give you one. He's your son-in-law. And you ought to treat him like that. That girl don't belong to you. That girl belongs to him. Somebody say, she's my daughter. She is his wife. God made that woman to be his wife. Now, I believe that a daddy-in-law's got some place in a daddy. I made a statement that if sons-in-laws beat my daughters, I'd go down there. They'd have to give me a whipping too because I'd be right down there. I'd get my daughter. That's right. But if they treat her right, try to make her a decent living, you need to leave them alone. If they fuss and pout every day in the week, 365 days a year, it ain't none of your business. None of your business. And when Junior and Sissy and everybody else come to tell you about it, and you start getting on your high horse, I'll go over and give them a piece of my mind, you'll die and go to hell. You better keep your nose out of it. All right, now, the man and wife belong to each other. It does not say that daddy and daughter is flesh of flesh and bone of bone. But it does say that the man and the wife is. Now, the mystery, one head, many members. Now, I'm going to have to get into some things here, so I want you to listen, because you might sell up on me. Brother Branham brought out some teachings about David being one man, Solomon being one man, but had many wives. Many wives. And that's exactly where this concubine thing stemmed from. They got it from Brother Branham's teachings. When the true word of God comes forth, a bastard child is born as well as a good child out of the same thing. All right, listen. Cain come from Adam just like Abel did. Somebody said, oh no, oh yes. The same seed of the gospel produces both children, the bastard child and the other child. Same thing. One disbelieves it, the other believes it. One disbelieves it, he uses it for his own purpose. That's unbelief in it. He thinks he can get by with it, so he tells himself it's all right. He's got the blood covering. He goes on his way. God's my father too, he says. All right, now, they took it because Brother Branham said a man could have as many wives as he wanted to, but the woman could have only one husband. I'm not trying to be contrary to Brother Branham. Brother Branham's followers or any of the others, because I say that they misunderstood what he said, because that is a lie. And one of the biggest that was ever told. God ain't never give a man the right to have as many wives as he wanted to have. I don't care if it was Brother Branham, if it was Paul, if it was an angel from heaven that said it, it is a lie. Because the Bible don't back it up. Revelation don't back it up. The Word of God don't back it up. The Spirit that speaks to the church today don't back it up. Whoever preaches it preaches a lie. God does not give a man the right to have as many wives as he wants to. God gave him one wife. And God said, if you put away that woman for any other reason, saving for the cause of fornication, you commit adultery, and if anybody marries her that is put away, committeth adultery. And do you believe that God is such a fool that God will let me marry 15 or 20 wives and live with 15 or 20 women at one time? You know better than that. I mean, we ain't very smart, but all of us have more sense than that. Say, well, he did David. He did David. That's true. And what made it so bad that David come along and did it? After that God had spoke to Moses on the mountain, give him the law. Say, well, he let Solomon do it. He certainly did. He let him do it because grace had not been given. It was a day of sin. Every man went his own way. God suffered it for the types and shadows to show that Christ is the head of the church with many members in the body. Somebody said, well, Brother Branham said, there's one bull and many heifers. That's what he said. That's true. And if we've got a bunch of beasts out here, then that's the way it is with you. But don't you ever call yourself a son of God and practice such filth. That's for the beast. All of the Old Testament in the types and shadows back there, it shows that it was the beast side of it. And it came to sin and come to death and come to heartache because Jesus folded it up, put it up on the cross, and God poured out his wrath on it. That's what he thought about it. And then when Jesus come, he said, now listen, well, let's go back there into that Old Testament. He said, Moses said, they said, but I say. You understand? Somebody said, well, them Jews was following Christ. They said, we're Moses' disciples. And that's exactly what they were. They were Moses' disciples. And when it came right down to the word, it proved that they were Moses' disciples because they done what Moses said instead of what Jesus said. And Jesus kept saying over and over, they said, or it has been said, but I say to you, this morning, folks, I got the word of God. This is God saying to you. Now, God don't give nobody the right to marry a half a dozen times. I don't care whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. The Bible said it wasn't so from the beginning. God made Adam one wife. If it had been God's plan, he'd have made him a dozen wives. I don't read where Adam ever took on any more. In the day we're living in, you'd have a problem anyway feeding them. You got a half a dozen wives and youngins a day, you'd have to put them on the welfare. As a matter of fact, just had a discussion yesterday. Some of the men run off. They don't even take care of what they already got. They want somebody else to take care of them. God has never, never done that. Even concerning your ministers. The Bible said, let them be the husband of one wife. Now, God narrowed it down to the minister. I may suffer them to do it, he said, but now it's not my plan, and if you're going to be my man, then you're going to do it my way. One wife, that's enough. One wife. All right, now, one wife. I give you one wife. Let your ministers be the husband of one wife. Somebody said, well, we'll go back to what Brother Branham said. Said, that Brother Branham said that a man that was a minister could not marry a widow. I don't know how in the world they get all that stuff balled up like they do. A man that is a minister can't marry a widow. Listen, folks. Do you think a man marrying a widow will take the calling of God out of his life? The Bible said that if that woman's husband is dead, that she's at liberty to marry who she will in the Lord. That takes in the preachers too. If he wants to marry her, if she's got 15 young'uns, that's his business. If she's 90 years old and he ain't but 15, that's still his business. I think that's silly. Well, people use a little reason, God will frown on it, but it's still his business. All right, now, the minister of the gospel, I don't care what he does, if he is a minister of the gospel, he will answer to God as a minister of the gospel. Balaam had a gift and he used it for money, loved the wages of unrighteousness, but what Balaam said still went. The scribes and the Pharisees did wrong. They wouldn't live right. But God said, whatever they tell you, you observe it and do it. God still held it. Somebody said, well, I lost my call to the ministry. I done so and so. I lost my call as a prophet. All right, if that's true, then that means that David lost his call as a prophet. The Bible said he was a prophet. Is that right? But he committed murder. He committed whoredom. He done everything. Did he lose his call as a prophet? You know he didn't lose no call as a prophet. He was a prophet when he done it. He was a prophet when he finished doing it. The Bible said, I've seen a horrible thing among the priests, the prophets, they commit adultery. He said, they're prophets, they commit adultery. They're men. Solomon said, you can't take fire to your bosom without being burned. A lot of folks feel like because somebody's got a special gift, that makes them something special that nobody can't ever touch. No, they're still human beings. That's why they have to walk a straight line like everybody else and watch what they do. A lot of ministers have got into trouble because some woman, she just had to come around and tell him about her family affairs. My husband, you know, she just had to finally get right down into the slop itself, you know. And he was consoling her, you know, as he dabbled in the slop with her. And finally both of them slopped off together. The pigs for the slop. Jesus said they go back to their wallowing in the slop, the mob. Or like a man, he'll come around, you know, the old sow wallowed in the slop. And then here comes the man. And he comes around and he's got a problem. And he just can't tell it to brother so-and-so. He just got to tell it to sister so-and-so. Something about sister so-and-so, she prophesies, she does this, and he's got to get over like an old dog and spit his vomit out. And she'll get there and she'll lap it with him. And then he'll lap some of it, and finally both of them will go off together. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you sure do make it sound bad. It's a whole lot worse than that. Whole lot worse. Because they thought they were going to California and they were going to hell all the time. Now, here's the thing. God don't give us no right to do that, folks. He don't give us no right to stand at the door because we're a minister and catch the sister's hand and rub it like I've seen so many men do and tell her, oh, you know, you understand. His wife, he gives her a kick, so to speak. He don't understand nothing about her, but he rubs sister's hand, you know. He holds her hand, he puts her neck around her, darling, honey, sis this, and sugar that, and honey that. You're just crawling with devils. That's what's wrong with you. You're literally crawling with devils. You don't realize it, but that little sis that you keep holding her hand, rubbing her, she's crawling with devils too, and God sent her in there just to get you so he can pull both of you back off away from the right thing to get you down into hell where you belong. The Bible said these are brood beasts made to be taken and burned. God made them for the purpose to burn them. That's why he made them. They were made to be taken and burned. For this cause have I raised Pharaoh up that I might harden his heart. To show my glory through him. The Bible said, God hardeneth whom he will. All right? Now, if a man put away his wife for any other reason, saving for the cause of fornication, he committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. Now, they said that Brother Branham said that a woman had no right to put away her husband. I believe that. But now, I read to you in the book of St. Mark, said that Brother Branham said that she could not put away her husband. Then if she cannot put away her husband, why did the Bible say if she put away her husband? It sounds like she can put him away according to Jesus' statements. Now we're going by the Bible. Sure you can put away your husband, just like the man can put away the wife. The Bible says that. You say, yes, but she don't have any right. She sure don't. Neither does the man either. Neither one of them has any right. You say, well, for the cause of fornication. All right. For the cause of fornication. Then you mean that if he puts the wife away because of the fornication, he goes and marries another, then that means he's all right. Well, and where does that leave the woman? So, well, she's still married to him. Then he's an adulterer. Because if he marries another, then in her still living, the Bible said he committeth adultery. Because she's bound to him as long as she lives. Now, are you listening? It's going to get a little complicated. If he put away his wife for the cause of fornication. Now, folks, notice the Bible said if he put her away, when that woman leaves because of fornication, it means that she is separated from him. He's no longer bound to her. Now, this is where a lot of you are going to get tripped up on what you teach and believe. But if you'll listen, you'll see it's absolutely right. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said that the woman is bound to the husband just as long as she liveth. That's right. And if she be married to another while her husband liveth, she shall be called an adulteress. That means she's practicing the wrong. Is that right? Does Jesus forgive adultery? The woman at the well with all of her husbands, she said, I'll call my husband. He said, that's not your husband. You're in a stage of filth. He said, but nevertheless, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you water, living water. He said, lady, if you'd have just asked me, I don't care how many times you've been married, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Grace covers sin. If you'd just ask me, whosoever calleth on my name shall be saved. Now, she couldn't get saved and going with her filth. But the woman came and was taken in the very act of adultery. They said, Lord, the law of Moses said stone her. He said, they say. It has been said. He said, all right. If we are going to stone the woman for her wrong, that's what a lot of pious people like to do, you know. Their background is as filthy and as sloppy and messy as it can be. They done got pious, you know, self-righteous. Instead of helping people, it's eating with the sinners and the publican, trying to pull them out of the filth, they gossip and yak and find fault and kill them. The woman that was taken in the act of adultery, when she came before Jesus, they said, Moses said we're to kill her. Now, this is going to explain something. Said Moses said for us to kill her. Stone her to death. Jesus said, all right. We're not going to break the law. The law said do it. Kill her. Go ahead. Not one jot or tittle will I take away from it until it all be fulfilled. If it said to kill her, go on and kill her. Said now, said the way we'll do it, he said we'll take the first one among you that's never done anything wrong and don't have any sins. Said we'll let him start it off. So he kept waiting for a leader and waiting for a leader. The Bible said each one of them, condemnation hit him because God said, I'll bring all things to your remembrance. He began to bring things to their remembrance. And they began to think about their filth. It was 10 times what that woman had done. And finally, they all drifted off. And Jesus said, woman, where are those thine accusers? She said, Lord, no man accuseth me. He said, neither do I. Now, he could have accused her. He was the only one that could have stoned her to death. He was the only one that had kept the law of Moses and that was in the position to do what Moses said do to her. Brother Bucky, he could have stoned her to death. He could absolutely have done it and been justified in the sight of God because God told Moses to do it. In that day, God would kill a witch. God would kill an adulterer because that was the only way to get rid of the spirits. Today, we've got the power to cast them out and save the vessel. But back there, you couldn't cast them out. You just had to kill the person. Because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given where it could come in and cleanse the vessel. So he just killed the person. Kill a stubborn child. Anything. Stone them to death. Now, when the Lord said, I'm the only one that can do it, but I set you free. I give you grace. I'm the only one. Folks, I'm the only one that can condemn you of adultery, fornication, or anything else. I'm the only one, Jesus said. But because I am the only one, then I forgive you of it. Because grace covers it. Now that brings us into another thought. Somebody said that Brother Branham said on the mountain, The Lord said, William Branham, just forgive him. When Brother Branham came to forgive him, he said, I do this. God gave the right to Moses to do it. God has given me the right to do it. I say again, I'm not contrary to Brother Branham or what he saw on the mountain or what he heard, but if a voice spoke to Brother Branham on the mountain or if an angel came down, no matter what, it wouldn't move me one iota. It wouldn't bother me one bit. When Brother Branham was alive, I preached the same thing. I believed the same thing. I testified of it, whether I was in the town where he was or wherever I was. I have the same convictions when I was in his meeting. I didn't change him a bit. It wouldn't make any difference if an angel from heaven spoke to Brother Branham or come down here. If he went contrary to this word, I wouldn't believe what he said. The word is sufficient. It won't never be changed. They said that Brother Branham said, continue as you are. Brother Branham always said, continue as you are. Just like old Robert said, go to the church of your choice. He knew he was going to the church of your choice anyway. Wasn't no need of him getting tangled up and losing your offerings. Go wherever you want to. And besides that, that thing about Methodism was back there all the time. He didn't see nothing wrong with Starwood. I don't mean that as an accusation against Brother Roberts. That's the truth. Now, Brother Branham said, just continue on as you are. Jesus said, it has been said to continue on as you are. I forgive you. But don't never do it no more. There ain't no man in the world can do that. Brother Pike or Brother Branham or nobody else. There ain't never lived a man on the face of the earth that could do that. Nobody can forgive your sins contrary to the Word of God. Don't be a fool, people. The Bible said the Word of God can't be altered. It can't be changed. And in the day of the judgment, it don't matter what Brother Pike says, or Brother Branham, or Brother Paul, or nobody else. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and Peter started changing it just a little bit. And God sent Paul to him and said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. I'm not changing my word. Paul said, now look here, Peter, we're not going to frustrate the grace of God. The word of God says such and such. It's written. Brother Branham was wise enough to know that people are predestinated one way or another. And God told him not to mess with it. It's just such a conglomeration of mess. It's a sinful and adulterous generation. You and nobody else, William Branham, can't straighten it out. Leave it alone. All you do is bust up home and hurt innocent little children. Them people it's like that's going to go to hell anyway. There ain't no need to tear up little children and cause heartaches and woes among the innocent. Just leave them alone, he said. Now why would God say that? Because, just like Abraham, the Lord said to the rich man back there, said they got the prophets. He said, no, send one from the dead. No, they got the prophets. Brother Branham, they've got the preachers. They preach to them every day. They know what's right and what's wrong. If they have the preachers, William Branham, they can preach to him. Now, Brother Branham said, I forgive you. I don't mean God forgive him. You say, but Brother Pike, you told us that you, the minister, had the right to remit sin. I do. I do. Through his name and through his word. That's the only way I can forgive your sins. If I go contrary to it, your sins are not forgiven. Now, listen real close. If you are predestinated, God knows, and Brother Branham knew, that if you've got mixed up in a double marriage, that somewhere God is going to straighten it out by taking the companion that didn't have no business pulling you into it. Or that God has something worked out somewhere or saw something in your case to where you was free. He saw that. So then, Brother Branham said, just leave it alone. God knows what he's doing. And you that have got into that mess, if you got you out of that mess, you'd get back into another mess because the same devil that got you into it would get you into it again. So you can't change that. Leave it alone. God said you can't make straight that which God has made crooked. You can't make crooked that which God has made straight. Leave it alone. I preach to some of you every day, you're just as crooked as you ever was. You're just as long tongued as you ever was. You're just as carnal minded as you ever was. I preach to you every few days here. Ministers do too. Because you're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. You were made for that purpose. God saw what kind of person you would be, and he predestinated you to hell, while he predestinated others to be conformed to the image of his son. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, my Bible tells me it's let whosoever will. That's the way he predestinated you. He looked down through the future. Peter said, but foreknowledge. And he let whosoever will. He saw who wouldn't and who would. The ones that would, he predestinated to heaven. The ones that would not, he predestinated to hell. Brute beast, made to be taken and burned. All of his works are known unto him from the beginning. All right, now, listen real close now. Brother Branham said, let them continue on as they are. Now, I'm just telling you what they tell me and what I've heard. Now, they say, it's been said. Let them continue on. Jesus said, but I say. Now, then, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about it. This I know, that I've heard. The Word of God says that if any man put away his wife for any other cause, saving for the cause of fornication, and marrieth another, he didn't say let them remain as they are, didn't say let them continue on. He said they'll go to hell because they've committed adultery. They've got to be forgiven. They've got to be cleaned up. They've got to be taken out of it. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, but if this man does that, won't God forgive him? Sure, God will forgive him. If you steal my car, God will forgive you. But God ain't going to forgive you and let you ride around in my car and go by and blow the horn at me every day. And you say, what do you mean? I mean, a man's more precious to him than his car is. Now, can you imagine somebody got your wife going down the road saying, glory, glory, hallelujah, and blow the horn at you. Go right on down with your wife, and here you are sitting heartbroken, the little youngin's crying. You know God don't do nothing like that. You say, well, then what shall we do? In the Old Testament, they said, when Nehemiah over there said, all right, get rid of all these women. You've married pagan women and so forth while he's down there in Babylon. You're not going to be on the roll of God that way. They said, but we've got children. Said, that don't make no difference. That's what he told them. Read it back there. Said, you still have to put them away. Said, I ain't got nothing to do with it. All right, listen, I ain't through. It'll take a little while yet. I want to clarify it because you probably go to the radio and everywhere. And boy, I'll be shot at. Boy, I'll be a target. But the Lord Jesus did not say, let them continue as they are. The Lord Jesus did not say, I will forgive them. He didn't say that at all. The Word of God is still the Word of God to every generation, unchanged, unaltered. That's my generation and Brother Branham's generation. It's without change or alter or being altered to every generation, to every individual. No matter who it is, your case is the same. All right, now, he said, they tell me, to let it continue on as it is. Just stay like you are. I forgive you. I forgive you. Just don't do it anymore. Nobody can't do that. Nobody can't do that. Brother Pike can't do that. Nobody has the right to do that. I cannot look at you and tell you that I forgive you for your evil. Just continue on doing it as you are. I can't do that. The people was not wise enough to understand that when Brother Branham said that, he also said, now I'm saying this to my people. If God was speaking through Brother Branham, and it was God that was speaking, he was saying, my people, continue on as you are. I've taken care of everything for you, my people. Now, how are we his people when we're not in adultery, when we're abiding by the word, when we've done what we were told to do? Now, he said, I say this to my people. A lot of times even the minister himself don't know what he's doing, but God knows what he's doing. Now look, listen real close. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what about all of them hundreds and thousands of people that are out yonder in sin? What are you going to do with those people? Jesus said, if this man put away his wife and so forth, and there's hundreds and thousands of them out there like that. Said, what are you going to do with them? I'm going to leave them alone. That's what God done with them. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean this. If people are out yonder in sin, they're on their way to hell. It don't make no difference whether they're in adultery or not. If they marry one time or 10 times or 50 times, what difference does it make? Why try to unscramble a mess? If I go out there and take every man and put him back in his right place and get him over here, when I get him back over there, he's still a sinner and on his way to hell. There ain't no profit in that. God isn't going to mess with that. Them people are on their way to hell. Why worry about how many times they've been married? They're a bunch of beasts to start with. God don't want us trying to figure out all of that. He said, I am not the God of the dead, but of the living. Howbeit, all live to God. But them people are dead in trespasses and in sin. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. I'm not your father, he said. He said, you're of your father the devil. You do what he tells you to do. I'm not your God. My sheep hear my voice. They do what I tell them. I'm not the God of the dead. Said no man can say that Christ is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That means that no man can't claim Jesus as a Savior except he do it by the voice of the Holy Ghost. You can't say that Christ is your Lord. Oh, you could pop up and say, well, he's my Lord. But that wasn't what the Lord was speaking of. No man can call him Lord. That is, he cannot be your Lord. Because there's one Spirit, the Holy Ghost. If you have not that Spirit, you're none of His. He could not be your Lord. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now then, He is our Lord. He is our God. I'm not worried about them people. Why should you worry about them people? God doesn't worry about them people. Somebody said, well, He's worried about all them that's going to be lost if we could have won to God. Jesus said, Father, you've not lost to one of them. May not have been lost. Except the son of perdition, he was predestined to be that way. Ain't none of them folks going to be lost and predestined for heaven. God don't lose none of his. Said, you raise them up the last day, all you give me. Them people that do them things. Somebody said, but what about all them people that was with us, Brother Pike? It went back out there. The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out from us that it might be made manifest to the world and everybody else that they were never of us to start with. They never did have the Holy Ghost to start with. You say, don't you believe as believers? They might have been believers coming to the knowledge of the truth. And after that, there's no more remission. Now, but I'm talking about having the Spirit, calling Him Lord, being of the Holy Ghost. Sure, they believe, the devil believes and trembles. But you don't do those filthy things out there in the world and belong to God. If you went back out there, it was positive proof that you never was born again to start with. How can a son of God go back and waller in the slop holes of the world? How can he do it? He can't possibly do it. The Bible said if you ever come to the knowledge, the light of the truth, just like this morning, I'm trying to tell you this. One of the things that Brother Branham tried his best to say on the mountain, I brought this out here a while back, was that we have been living in a day of ignorance and that people have not understood. And where there's no knowledge of something, God does not require it. Them people that are in sin, God don't require it of them until they come to the knowledge of truth. They're just dying a sinner, not as an adulterer, but as a sinner. They're lost. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, Brother Branham said, now that you know that you're wrong, don't ever do it anymore. Don't ever do it anymore. Because if you do, you will go to hell. He was speaking to them that did not understand. A lot of the people that have got mixed up in that knew better than to do it. When they'd done it, they went over the head of the preachers like Balaam did, got into that mess, and men and Brother Branham and nobody else can't get them out of it. They're in it. And when Brother Branham said, continue on, I forgive you, God wasn't speaking to them kind of people. He was speaking to the innocent that didn't know, them that got mixed up, them that have atonement for sin, them that God could straighten your lives out. Them people that are out yonder in the world, folks, they're sinners. There's no need of you messing with them. There's no need of me messing with them. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what would you do? The Bible said, When you come to God, you're born again. That behold, old and all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature in God. If you was an adulterer, you're no longer an adulterer. If you was a sinner, you're no longer a sinner. You say, oh, Brother Pike, that don't apply to that. Then why did Paul use the term? He said, some of you were adulterers and such, but now you're clean. Somebody would say, well, if I left my wife out there and then come over here, you mean that I'm free from her? No, you're not free from her. If she's a decent woman, even if she's a sinner. Just because you got to be a Christian, that don't mean that you're going to stay away from her. The thing to do is go make restitution, go back to her. You say, well, she done married somebody else and got all mixed up. Well, that's a different case. If she's done married somebody else and got mixed up in the things of the world out there, then the thing for you to do is you've been born again, you're cleaned up, she's done committed the wrong, she's gone her way. Now, somebody would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Jesus said fornication. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes. I just want to clarify a few thoughts. Some say fornication this and some say fornication that. When you come to the Lord, if you've been in ignorance, and you have been in ignorance, then you're born again. All of that is behind you. You are a new creature in Christ. You've been born again. You are now a son of God. You're not an adulterer. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you think that after you're born again, if you run off and left your wife, you're still an adulterer? Now, that don't make sense. Now, you got better reason than that. How can you be born again being an adulterer? No born again people are adulterers. You say, well, every day born again people go out there and commit adultery. You've never seen a born again person commit adultery. Say, but I know Christians that done it. No, you don't. Oh, no. The Bible said they went out from us because they were never of us. Them those wasn't born again. They went out there and done it because they never was right to start with. Sons of God don't commit adultery. They couldn't be sons of God and be adulterers. So then, when you come to the Lord, you're cleaned up. You're no longer an adulterer. You're a son of God. You're clean. You're no longer a whore. You're no longer a whoremonger. You're cleaned up. You're washed. You're clean. Jesus said, by the words I've spoken to you, because you believed them, then you're clean by the washing of the water of regeneration, which is God's Spirit. You're clean. Now, if you listen, you'll know how to explain it when you go to tell somebody. Somebody said, but every case is an individual case, Brother Pike. Look at all the many people in the world. First of all, there is a set way of God, and the set way of God is to forget about them people in the world. They ain't got nothing to do with it. You try to preach salvation to them. Don't go over and tell them they're an adulterer, they're this and that kind of thing. You go over and preach a gospel to them. They need to repent and get right with God. Then you can get all that untangled. God will do that by the washing of regeneration. Now you say, well, what about John? When he went over and he told that man, said, it's not lawful for you to take another man's wife. Sure, that's right. He told him it wasn't lawful because he'd never done it. He went over there, he saw hope. Here was a ruler in the city that could corrupt the whole thing out there. And God trying to bring in salvation. And John told him, said, it's not lawful for you to take her, your own brother's wife. That's not right for you to do that. But of course, he'd done it anyway. That woman had him killed to have her way, though he was a prophet. Don't mess with the people in the world. Leave them alone. It's all right for you to preach to them that they're sinners and adulterers and fornicators and those kind of things, and that God's not pleased with it. That's to tell them that they're unlike God. But don't try to untangle a lie. You ministers, don't lose your soul by having some denominational person that's supposed to be a Christian that's all mixed up and jumbled up, and they say, I've got the Holy Ghost, I've had the Holy Ghost for 10 years, and I belong to the church of so-and-so, and I just got to have some help. Here you sit down with them and you wreck your brain and you twist this and you twist that, and after a while you done told them something, and both of you's on your way to hell because you bid at God's feet. Leave them alone. Them people is all mixed up out there. The first thing to do when a person comes to you, find out if they're a real, genuine Christian. Find out. Say, well, they said they was. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The child's not known by sayings but his doings. Get a report on them. Find out something before you advise them. Say, well, they're fixing to commit suicide. I ain't got but 15 minutes. Well, ain't no need to bother with them, no way. Just leave them alone. Let them go and commit suicide. There ain't no need of you committing spiritual suicide to try to keep them from committing natural suicide. because that's what you're going to be doing. You just wait and find out. If they're God's people, he ain't going to let them commit suicide before you can straighten them out. Just leave them alone. God knows what he's doing. If they commit suicide, let them go. And probably done committed so much sin they can't get over it anyway. God's just letting them be marked off the list. Now, I feel that if you will take a real Christian, a real child of God, and maybe they have been mixed up in their life back there and they've got all torn up. Now, I'm not talking about a real Christian that's got to be a Christian that's got all mixed up, because Christians don't get mixed up like that. The love of God constrains me, Paul said. But them that got mixed up back there, and now that they're trying to be Christians, they're trying to get things straightened out. You can sit down and you can help them and straighten them out. Now, they say that if a man put away his wife for any other cause, the Bible used the terms saving for the cause, and the word saving means otherwise and so forth. If you put away your wife for any other reason, saving for the cause, that means except for the cause of fornication. If any man put away his wife for any other cause except for the cause of fornication, and notice this, it said, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. Now let's look at two or three things right there in that statement. If any man put away his wife, if any man put away his wife, not talking about people out in the world now, God is not the God of them people. They will answer to God for what they're doing, but it has nothing to do with the world. If any man put away his wife, now what is a wife? What is a wife? Like the man said, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, your neighbor. The man said, who is a neighbor? What is a wife? A wife is not something that you married. Come on now. I might say, oh, Brother Pike, you're really going over my head now. A wife is not something that you married. Now, somebody said, boy, I didn't know you believed in the rib message. I believe in the rib message, the kind of rib message God gave back in the days of Adam and Eve. Because you get married, that does not mean that she is your wife, nor does it mean that he is your husband. If getting married means that that is your companion, then when the man puts away his wife and marrieth another, then they're married. By God. Marrying don't mean no more than divorcing means. The Bible said if any man put away his wife, said, well, Brother Pike, we have to get married. I don't read where Adam and Eve ever got married. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe that a judge ought to put us together? I do, the judge of all ages. And I believe he's the only one who can put you together. So, well, you don't believe a preacher could do it? The Bible says, not you that speak, but the Heavenly Father. What you do, according to the Word, that's God putting them together. God said, what I have joined together. Not what some marriage vows was. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? I mean one thing. Jesus said, if any man put away his wife. Now, what is a wife? A wife is something that God joined to you that's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And he said, what I have joined together, don't let any man touch it. Don't let any man put it asunder. Don't let any man mess with it. The preacher, the judge, and nobody else. Don't let him mess with it. I'll hold him accountable in the day of the judgment. What I have put together, if any man put away what I have put together, the wife. Now somebody said, well, now Brother Pike, how are you going to differentiate between these things? How do you know what God put together and what God didn't put together? That's easy. In the beginning was God the Word. God the Word, same to every generation. God the Word tells you what you can do. God the Word tells you what you can't do. The minister tells you on the strength of God's Word, and that's it. Whatever it is, it binds you together. That's God put you together. Now, you come apart from that, and you're in trouble. If any man put away his wife, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. If any man put away his wife for any other cause. Now somebody says, but Brother Pike, fornication means before marriage. All right, let's just look at it. Paul uses the terms like this. Let every man have his own wife. Is that right? To avoid fornication. So it's obvious he's speaking of before marriage. Brother Branham used the example of Joseph and Mary. The Bible said that before Joseph and Mary came together, that she was found to be with child. Joseph, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, sought to put her away privately. He didn't want her injured in any way. He loved her. But the Bible said, while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel of the Lord said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee or thyself Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It was a divine conception. I think I brought it out one time, how that the divine conception come about, or was intended to bring it out. How that it happened. It's a great mystery. Joseph accepted what God said. Now, it did not state in there anywhere that Mary had committed fornication. So you can't put your fingers on that. Nowhere in the Bible does it point out any such thing. In the Old Testament, if a man humbled a woman, caught her away from the house and in the field, in that she was the weaker vessel, he had to marry her. When you humble a woman, you're single, the woman's single, you got to marry her. You've sinned against God if you don't do it. She's the weaker vessel. Now, they had a right back there. If the father did not want him for a son-in-law, he could still refuse to let him have the hand of his daughter. But that man had to pay him as much money as he wanted for what he had done to that daughter, to take care of her, to look after her, the child or whatever might develop. They had to give him whatever money he wanted. The daddy's word was law. All right, now, fornication. If we use the terms that fornication is before wedlock and tell ourselves that the only way that you can put away a woman is that after you marry her, find out that she is not a virgin, then you have a right to put her away. And that is fornication. And it's a shame before God that women are not virgins. It is a shame. Philip had four or five daughters. Every one of them was virgins. But the sinful, rotten, low-down generation that we've got in, that's got their non-virgin clubs and they're filled. It is a shame and a disgrace that you can't even find a woman on the face of the earth, seem like, that is a virgin. All of them is filthy before you marry them. Same way with the men. But if we are going to use the terms that before marriage, that is fornication, I want to ask you a question. You mean to tell me that the only way that you can put away your wife, speaking of the men, is because you found out that she was not clean before her marriage? That's absurd. I mean, that's unreasonable. You say, well, Brother Pike, she's unclean. What if she's been born again and she's a child of God? You mean to tell me that she's unclean and her a daughter of God? Now you say, well, don't God give you a right to put her away? He certainly does. If she's been untrue and you find it out, you would have a right to put her away. But the only thing is, as Brother Branham said one time, six of one and half a dozen of another. You show me one man that's clean, that's able to put her away, like I said about Jesus, one that can throw the stones, then I'll say, let him put her away. Usually he's in the slop more than she was. All right, now, Another thing I ask, you mean to tell me that if you are married to a woman and that woman goes out and commits adultery with a man that you don't have any right to put her away? Now look, folks, I've seen a lot of fools, but that would be a big fool to tell me that I got to live with a woman while she's committing filth with a man over here and I can't put her away. I might be a fool for Christ, but I'm not that kind of fool. I ain't never read in the Bible where I got to live with a woman while she takes up time with another man just because it ain't fornication, because fornication is before you marry. Well, it would be some kind of fool to believe anything like that. Unless they were just ignorant and didn't know no better. Do you mean that these men that I got here are holy, godly, upright men, that you going to go out there, you ladies, and play the harlot and go where you want to and live in the filth of the world and they still got to live with you? Oh, sir. I ain't fixing to do it. Now, they might do it, but I ain't fixing to do it. I'll just tell you like it is. He said, well, Jesus said, for no other reason saving for the cause of fornication. He said, why are you saying those things, Brother Pike? Because I'm confronted with this kind of thing. Someone says fornication means before you marry. And I'm just trying to show you that how absurd it is for you to take the idea that Jesus meant that you got to live in a slop hole. That don't even agree with the Word. The Bible said if any man be joined to a harlot, then he is a harlot. Let him get away from her. Let him put that unclean thing away from him. That's the Bible. So it's obvious that when the Lord said fornication, that wasn't what he meant. You say, but Brother Pike, you said that the woman is bound to her husband by the law so long as he liveth. All right, let's look at it just a minute, right here. As long as he liveth, she's bound to the laws of her husband. Is that Bible? Now listen real close. When Paul taught this sermon, you can check it out, he was talking about being divorced from the law, married to Christ, which is another. Is that right? That's what he's speaking of. So then what he was saying concerning death was typical because he said, reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Is that right? So his conversation was concerning sin. If the man be dead, dead how? Either way, dead naturally, she's free from him. Dead in trespasses and sin, she's free from him. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, you can't prove that. But I can prove it. The Bible said that if a brother or a sister be bound to an unbeliever, that a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. Is that Bible? Now, if the unbelieving want to do right and stay with him, said that he'd be won over by your chaste conversation. Honor him. Do what you're supposed to. He's your husband. Now somebody said, that's confusing to me. I don't understand it. How can he be my husband if he's dead and trespasses and sin? There's a way. If you wait just a minute, I'll show you. I'm not giving double talk. I'm telling you the way the Bible tells it. The mystery of godliness. That's the way it goes. The brother or the sister is not under bondage. You say, what do you mean not under bondage, Brother Pike? If a woman is bound to her husband, that's a bondage. In the Old Testament, the servant that didn't want to go free put a hole in his ear. By the awl, he become a servant forever. Because he loved his master, he was then under bondage to him. All right, now, until the time expired for the time that he was to be with him, so many years before he ever did that, he was under bondage to him. The woman made for the man being bound by the laws of her husband, she is under bondage to him. You follow me? But Paul said a brother or a sister, in such cases, whether it be an unbeliever, is not under bondage. Now, I say these things to you, and I know that it goes to your mind, well, that's what you say. But I've tried to do more than that in my preaching to you and teaching. I've tried to break it down to where you could see the mystery and understand what he was saying so that you could understand it, accept it for what God tells you, makes you to understand instead of what Brother Pike says. Now let's look at it a little bit and see if that bears out line upon line and precept upon precept. You say, you mean that that brother or that sister is not bound to that person? Absolutely, they are not bound to him.
All right, can you prove it?
All right. If any man put away his wife, are you following me? If any man put away his wife, you say that woman, you mean that? If that woman's an unbeliever and he's a Christian, that woman's not his wife? She is under one condition. Not because God has joined them together in the way that you think. Not in that she is bound to the husband or vice versa by the laws. But the Bible said that God will sanctify the unbelieving companion. If the unbelieving be willing to dwell with you, God will sanctify that companion, else your children be unclean. Now, I got a tape somewhere I brought out a little bit on that. The companion has a sanctification as long as a Christian brother or a sister is married to them. God sanctifies that individual as long as one of them is a Christian. You follow me? This is not a sanctification unto salvation. The word sanctification means cleanliness. He cleanses them in his sight to that extent. The sanctification is for the wife. Now listen real close, children of God. The sanctification is for the wife or for the husband. If the husband or the wife be married to a believer, and if they are an unbeliever, then God has suffered them to be together, just like he suffered Moses to give a writing of divorcement. Just like I said concerning Brother Branham, when they said, God let Moses do it, then God let Brother Branham do it. That's what they said. But now listen, I still say this, that if God let Moses do it, and it wasn't so from the beginning, if he let Brother Branham do it, it still wasn't so from the beginning. He done it the same way he did to Moses. He don't change his word for Moses, though he made Moses a god, he wouldn't change his word. All right, listen. The unbelieving is sanctified. Are you following me? That sanctification is not unto salvation. God suffers it like he suffered the writing of divorcement. It isn't his will for them two to be joined together to begin with. Just like God told Samson, said, ain't there enough people up here? Outside of going down there, or rather his daddy did, outside of going down there to the Philistines to get a wife? Don't you have enough holy people? Doesn't the Bible tell you that if you are separated, that you are at liberty to be married to another only in the Lord? It's not God's plan for you to be with them because you are unequally yoked together. That's an unequal yoke when you yoke up with a sinner. But you can't tell some young girls that, and you can't tell some young boys that. All they can see is that pretty face or whatever they think it is, and they would die and go to hell until they got them, and then after they get them, they wish sometimes that they'd left them alone. But right then, you can't tell them nothing. All right, now, the sanctification that covers is something that the Lord suffers. God hasn't bound them people together because God cannot bind darkness to light. God cannot join the temples of Belial to the temples of God. The temples of Belial and the temples of God have absolutely no fellowship. So then God has to sanctify the individual to where the individual will be clean in the sight of God, or God couldn't even stay with the Christian. You say, well, why does he have to do that? Because they are supposed to be one flesh. You say, what are they doing together if God didn't put them together? God put them together in the sense of the sanctification of suffering it, but God did not put them together in that God did not bind them on the Word. It's contrary to the Word for them to be together to start with. They ain't even supposed to be fellowshipping each other, let alone marrying each other. But for the sake of the gospel, all right now, the sanctification of the individual is only something that God suffers because the Scriptures does not bear out the fact that God joins darkness to light, nor does God join the temples of God to the temples of Belial. They have no fellowship, evil communication, corrupt good manners. God wasn't in it to start with. God never bound them together. They made an agreement, and because they gave their word one to another, then God let them go on like they are. In the sanctification, these people are not bound together. I want you to get that, folks, so that we won't run over it now. These people are not bound together by God. That's why that I use the terms that if any man put away his wife, you follow me? If any man put away his wife, you say, what is the wife? One that God has joined you to. This other, you made an agreement. God never bound you to that. But God said, don't let anybody mess with what I have joined together. But your agreements, that's between you and them. A brother or sister not under bondage in such cases. If the unbelieving depart. But God will hold a brother or a sister to their word. If they gave that man the word that they'll be his wife, God will hold her to it till that man dies. She can't leave him. As long as that man's decent, she's got to stay with him. The same way with the woman, the man, either one of them. But now, if the unbelieving break the agreement and leave you, God never had you under bondage to start with. So then, if God has joined a person together, and if that is his wife, and you put the wife away, other than for fornication, you've committed adultery. If you marry another, you've caused her to commit adultery. Now listen real close. In these things, when the individual goes out in trespasses and in sin, you are free from that individual. Now they might be a believer and still not a son of God. They might be a believer. They might be with the church. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You have not the Holy Ghost, you're not of his. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, I believe you can be saved without the Holy Ghost. Well, that's your doctrine. I don't teach that and I don't believe that. There's one Spirit, that's God's Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. If you got it, you're his. The Bible says, if you have not his Spirit, it's none of his. You're none of his. That's the way I teach it. You say, but Brother so-and-so said. Well, that's all right. You follow Brother so-and-so. This is the way I understand it. Now, that person might be a believer and still not be a child of God, never been born again, which is of the Spirit. The Bible said to be born of the Spirit, not born of belief. Somebody said, well, I believe. The devil does too. Somebody said, well, all you got to do is believe. Well, if you all you got to do, the devil believes, and he'll be in heaven too. Now you say, well, he is in heaven. Yeah, I know it. That's how he got there, by believing. But you'll find out the same way that he gets kicked out at the end is the same way that you got in without the wedding garment, without the Spirit of God. Though you be in heaven, you're going to get kicked out too. That's where you climb up. Now, he might be a believer, and he might be in the church. He might be covered with the blood, and he might be part of the operation. But he still hasn't been born again. If you watch him, he's always contrary to what you want to do. And she'll always be contrary. Always carnal-minded, talking about lust and filth and the things of the world and the fishes and the loaves, gossiping, backbiting. Though they're still in the ranks. Spots, blemishes in your feast of charity. Never been born again in the Spirit. They're in heaven, but they'll be kicked out. They're the wandering stars. Wandering stars is up yonder in heaven, but they're going to be kicked out. The mist of darkness, the carnal mind waiting on Satan. Evil. I wasn't going to try to get into that. I want to stay with just this principle thought, if I possibly can. Alright, now, God didn't join them together. That means if a person is a believer and you married them thinking that there was a Christian, then if that person puts you away, and if they put you away, you know that they're not a son of God, because the son of God is going to obey the word of God. If that person puts you away, they might have been a believer. They might have been in camouflage. But they put you away and marry another. They went out from us that it might be made manifest. They were never of us. And they went out there and joined themselves to that evil. And the Bible said that woman is bound by the laws of her husband so long as he liveth. If he's in the presence of the sanctification, he's living in the sight of God. If he's bound by the laws of the word, he's living in the sight of God. If he goes away from her and goes out into the world or marries another, commits adultery, he is dead and she is free from him. Now, you say fornication. Fornication. I say this again. If the Lord Jesus only meant that fornication was before marriage, and that your companion can continue to commit adultery and do all the things that they can do, and you're still bound to them, then I'm a false prophet to start with. I'll just tell you right here, because I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Now, the Bible said if you're joined to a harlot, you're a harlot, because you're one flesh. God, in the sanctification part, don't make you one flesh. You're not under bondage. But by the word, you are one flesh. And if you meddle with that, God will get you. But a lot of this other is not marriage to start with. One over here and one over here and one over yonder. All those kind of things. How many of you are understanding what I'm trying to explain to you? Fornication. When Jesus said, if any man put away his wife for any other reason, that means that there ain't no reason. I don't care how disagreeable you and your husband get. There ain't no reason for you to leave him. If you put away the husband or the wife for any other reason, saving for the cause of fornication, and go and marry another, or if somebody marry her that is put away, both of you are in adultery. Both of you are in adultery. That doesn't matter who. If any one of you, Jesus said, I say it to all, if any man put away his wife for any other reason, I don't care what the reason is, and he marries another, he hath committed wrong. And when the Lord said for the cause of fornication, I tell you that he wasn't just speaking of something that happened before your marriage, as people have tried to make you believe. He means when that woman breaks her marriage vows with you. Because to commit the singular act is referred to as fornication. But to practice a thing or to join yourself to it, like to look on a woman and lust after, you have committed adultery in your heart. That's inside your heart. In your heart, you've committed adultery. But when you join yourself to a union with that person, you have committed adultery and sinned against your own body, your own flesh. Because the woman that's joined with you is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And the fornication is that you must have been joined to something or you couldn't have sinned against your flesh to start with. But I'm saying this, that when he said to put her away for fornication, it means when that man gets out there and joins himself to another woman, you're free from him. Somebody said, Brother Pike, but I'm bound as long as he lives. He's not living, he's dead. He's gone. God's not the God of the dead. He's gone. Now, the woman, when she gets out there and do that, you're not bound. Like they say about the minister, and I'm going to try to close here. They say the minister got to have one wife. I believe that. If he ever marries a second time, then they say he can't be a minister. That's wrong. Because a man's been married twice. Who ever told you he couldn't be a minister? The Bible doesn't bear that out. Somebody said he's got two living wives. He doesn't have two living wives. If a man puts away his wife for fornication and marries another woman, he's got one living wife. That's the only wife he's got. It's just one wife. That Paul said, let your minister be the husband of one wife. Back in that day, they committed polygamy. They had a half a dozen wives. God said, I don't want to preach with a half a dozen wives. You say, well, it's the same polygamy today. If he's married to a couple of women out here, it is, if he's not legally divorced in the sight of God from her. But if that woman is committed wrong, the Bible said, he whom the Word, the Son, hath made free is free indeed, that is to do. Deed means to do. Free to marry. That man might have been married five different times and every one of them women went bad. He still got one wife. That's all he's got. Now, I'm going to say this. Some of you have heard me mention it. A man come to me one time. He jumped. Usually people come like that. It's causing trouble anyway. You follow it out and you finally go right back to the same thing that accused you. But he come to me saying something to me about the marriage. A minister being married so many times. And couldn't be a preacher. And all them kind of things. Getting everything all scrambled up and balled up. Trying to get me confused. And get me to where I didn't know what I was thinking or what I was trying to explain. That's the way the devil does. He's a spirit of confusion. He tries to get you to think you don't know what you're talking about. But listen, if a woman goes bad, like I told that man, he said, Brother so-and-so can't be a minister. I said, well, why come Brother so-and-so can't be a minister? He says God's called him, but he couldn't be a minister. I said, well, why not? Well, he's got two or three living wives. I said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Brother so-and-so. I said, since when did a man get to be a brother that had two or three living wives? And he got all confused. I said, you know better than that. I said, a man couldn't be no brother that had two or three living wives. Oh, he said, well, he's a brother. I said, well, if he's a brother, he ain't got two or three living wives. If he ain't got two or three living wives, then he's got a right to preach. So you see, if you've got two or three living wives, you're not a Christian to start with. You are an adulterer. But, now, if your wife done wrong and you married another, she was the cause of fornication, I can assure you, you're just as much a prophet as David was after his wrong. You are still a preacher. And God will require it of you in the day of judgment, and you don't have no two or three living wives. The reason I don't mess with people like that much is because I get into trouble. I can't go through every message and every service trying to explain to them about this man or that man. The Bible said you get your reproach and will never be taken away. I can't go through it explaining it. So because I can't explain it, people go say, Brother Pike's preaching this one and preaching that one and the other one and so forth. And they're in adultery when they're not in adultery. So that's the reason why I do it like I do. I just try to stay away from it because it's such a wilderness and entanglement. I can't explain it to people. I want you to stand with me. There's other things I would like to say over to you, to where you can at least understand what I'm saying. Because you can be assured that I'll get shot at for this from every place. But I challenge any one of you that heard me this morning to come up here after I've finished and show me where I violated the Word of God. It's absolutely the Word of God that I told you. I can show it to you in the Scriptures, line upon line. You do not have to live with a person that is living in evil. You don't even have to live with a person that's living in sin. If that person ain't decent enough to regard your desires and your wishes, you don't even have to live with them. You can't go off and get married again. But the Bible said let them remain unmarried as long as they're loyal to you on the strength of the marriage vows. But you don't even have to live with them. If somebody's interfering with your Christian life, and there, I don't mean just cause y'all have fusses and arguments. The Bible said you marry, you'll have trouble in the flesh. I'll spare you. I'll forgive you for your little pouting and different things if you'll get back and repent and try to keep it straightened out. But if that person is keeping you from God, you don't have to live with them. But you can't go frolic with somebody else. You can't take that as an occasion to the flesh and say, well, bless God, I've been wanting to get away from him. Go to try to look pretty and flirting around, lusting after other men. You're just as married as if he was at home. You should be just as solemn. The Bible said, let the women be grave and sober. Not giggling, not flirty. Let the men be the same way. Not giggly, not flirty. Don't give place to spirits. But if a person is keeping you from living from God, for God, you don't have to stay with them. The Bible said, separate yourself from every brother. That's your husband, your wife, anybody else. Every brother that walks disorderly. In the first place, if they're willfully walking disorderly, they're not a brother to start with. He said, well, why do you call them brothers? Well, it depends on the depths of what they're doing. Paul spoke of false brethren. You call them brothers, but yet they're false brothers. So it depends on the depths of which you speak. I hope this morning that you've understood this, and I know that I took a long time, and that's the reason that I stayed away from it like I did. But I wanted to try to explain it to the best of my ability, to where you could understand and explain the things that Brother Branham said and others said, so that you would know. Concerning the widows, Paul said, I would that the younger widows marry, give none occasion to the devil. For some of the widows have already turned aside, and they become tattlers, Paul said, busybodies, gossipers, going into things they have no business in. He said they've already received damnation because they've cast off their first faith, wherewith they've learned to be idle, busybodies. He said, I would that they marry and bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Don't give him a place to cause you to speak reproachfully. I love you. A woman is a great thing, one of the grandest things that God ever put in the world, if she's a real God woman. There ain't nothing no more sweeter, no more precious, no more greater, no more of a light, no more of a testimony. The Bible said a price is far beyond that of rubies. She's a mother that'll go out. Solomon, read it in Solomon. She'll go out and she'll do the things that's right. In the snow, she'll work for her children. She'll make them clothes. She'll go to see about them. She'll take care of them in the nighttime. She'll stand by her husband. She'll be a great woman. Read it in Solomon. God said there ain't no price to be compared to it. Even the rubies in the earth, God said, I won't even compare them to this. She's even greater than the rubies. She's such a wonderful thing. But I have to confess, but as Brother Branham said, a woman that is wicked and evil, and this is the Bible, not what Brother Branham said, the Bible said that woman is rottenness in her husband's bones. She is rottenness in her husband's bones. That's what God thinks about her. If she does evil, said she is rottenness in his bones. And it could very well be said that she's not as good as a garbage can. At least a garbage can does offer some service. I wouldn't compare her to a garbage can because she's not that good. I need my garbage can. At least it renders a service. She ain't that good. But I tell you, ladies, whatever you do, don't dress to where men will lust after you. Don't be protruding in your body in means of dress. Don't be protruding when you talk to men and burst out, giggle, come right up to them and tell them what you think, and always around men. Stay with the ladies. Be a lady. Wives, obey your husband. Honor, reverence them. Don't find fault with them. When they come home from work, don't you be over yonder to who knows where. Be at home when they come or have some supper. And don't run off and spend the day with sister so-and-so and run back in 30 minutes trying to get supper done for them. You ain't got no business going off to start with unless you got his permission. You belong to him. Unless he's give you permission to do that, you got no business going anywhere. Now somebody said, well, bless God, I'm going to pin mine down. The Bible said jealousy is as cruel as a grave. If that woman don't have a right to breathe or speak or get out or move around, couldn't be no crueler. You couldn't be no crueler. You couldn't even be a child of God. You're on your way to hell to start with. Some woman said, well, bless God, I'm so thankful for that. Now I can get out from under that. No, the Bible said, I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, Paul said. There is a differentiation between all of it. The Bible said, thou shalt not covet. Paul said, yet I covet. So what does the law mean? Thou shalt not covet the wrong thing. Paul said, covet the right thing. Is that right? You need to get restless, some of you. I'm not going to dismiss till I get through. If you got to leave, leave. I done told you to leave long before now. You could have gone. So there ain't no need, he wouldn't. If I had you here and had the doors locked, I'd feel bad about it. But them doors ain't locked. And I told you from the start, when you got restless, not to give place to the devil, to get on out and go and leave. From the first of my services, you can do it. So don't you bother me, because I'm not going to worry about you. Now, if we'll take what was said this morning, apply it to our hearts, apply it to our souls, you'll get something out of it, and it'll do you good all the days of your life. Honor that husband, obey that husband, do what he tells you to do if you want to go to heaven, because he is the Savior of the body and the only way that you can get there. And husband, Love your wife like Christ loved the church. Love her. Be kind to her. Be courteous to her. Be pitiful to her. Love her. Try to help her. Try to strengthen her. Try to work with her. Don't allow for her fit pitching. Don't pet her evil, devilish ways. Don't compromise with her to get her favor, or both of you will go to hell. But be loving and kind to her. Don't abuse her. Don't nag at her. Don't fuss at her. Don't say things. A lot of times I say things to my wife, and you'll say things to yours if you love her. If you're going to keep her straight, you better, because you're her head. And she'll say things to you. But when you say those things, be convicted in your heart that you're telling the truth. Don't say those things when you know that you're just taking up something to say. When I say things to my wife, I believe that. I wouldn't say it to her. I'm convicted of it. Somebody said, well, you're wrong. I might be wrong, but I'm still convicted of it. I pray to God to show me if I'm wrong. I pray all the time. But I say it because I believe it. I don't just believe in nagging. You nag at a woman, you nag at a man, you're just going to drive him into hell, and you're going to wind up in hell too. Both of you. Remember this one thing in closing this morning. Wife, he's your head. If you keep him tore up and aggravated, you're the one that's going to suffer, because he's your guide, and God's going to let all of it come on you. If you don't prosper, and you won't, then you're the one that's going to suffer for it. You're the one that's going to have the diseases and heartaches when he can't reach God, because God's going to hear him, not you. You're not going to go to God past him. I tell you that in the name of the Lord. If you think you're going to pout with him and go, you can't. Even a brother can't do that. The Bible said if you got an alt against your brother before you ever go to God, you got to get that straightened out with your brother. God don't hear some of your prayers. I got men in here that God don't hear your prayers, and I got women here that God don't hear your prayers. You think he does. But you're gossiping, backbiting, faults, you got to make that thing right with your brother. If you don't forgive from your heart, God will not forgive your trespasses. You got things there, you're on your way to hell. So then God is going to hear your prayers. Stay right with each other. Stay sweet with each other. And it'll work out. Don't abuse your wife. God hateth putting away. You put that woman away, and I tell you, in closing this morning, you put her away for any other cause, for the cause of fornication, same for the cause of fornication. The Bible said God hates that. And when God hates something, it's time for you to stand up and take notice. Because when God gets hatred in his heart towards something, David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. When God hates something, he'll tear you to pieces. He said, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. When God said he hates it, he means leave it alone. He don't mean I just hate it and you can go on doing it. All right. The Lord bless you. Let's sing a little chorus together.